Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. And in the second hour of today's show, it is a great pleasure to welcome to the show Dr. Tullio Simoncini, who, as I mentioned in the previous segment, has developed an extraordinary new approach to the treatment of cancer. And it's one that's really very revolutionary and one that I knew very little about myself. And I'm quite amazed, and it looks to me like something that I really do need to study more. I really do need to understand. The approach, as I said earlier, is in relation to seeing cancer essentially as a fungus, and then the treatment of that becomes the treatment of the fungal infection which underlies the cancer in virtually all cases. So I would like to welcome to the show Dr. Simoncini. Thank you so much for joining Truth News Radio.
Okay, thank you to you for asking me for the interview. I am here.
Absolutely. Great to have you aboard the show. So, Dr. Simoncini, could you possibly begin by giving our listeners your background as a doctor and as an oncologist, and what led you to this this startling new approach and understanding of what cancer actually is?
Okay. I am oncologist, yes, I am oncologist, and also specialist in diabetes and metabolic disorders. I am also a philosopher doctor. When I was young, at the beginning of the university, I was shocked when I listened to the professor that said that tumor was a mystery. So all the university long, every chapter ends with the word dark mystery about tumors. So I didn't accept it. Then I started to cure the psoriasis, an illness of the skin that is considered unknown and incurable, but I could heal many people with the iodine tincture because I understood that it was a fungus. In a moment of the desperation, I wondered, what is this tumor? And I thought maybe another illness, the tumor, unknown and incurable, maybe is a fungus. Hence, I started my experimentation, the treatment, and all the studies about the fungus as a cause of cancer.
Right. Fascinating stuff. Can I just ask, what is the mainstream view of the relationship of fungal infections to cancer? There must be some position that is taken on this in the medical literature. How do they see it?
But they refuse. The mainstream refuse new theories.
Right.
And also my theory. If you see at the history of medicine, every big discovery was completely persecuted, was denigrated.
Yeah.
So I am in trouble with the mainstream because my theory is not accepted yet because they don't understand. Maybe the theory, my theory, is 100 years in advance. You understand?
Yes.
So I am a little bit in trouble for this.
I can well understand. So when a standard medical approach is taken to cancer, where there is fungal infection, how do they explain the fungal infection? What do they have to say about it? Do they basically just say that it's just a coincidence? It's just something that happens. It's not connected to the cancer. Is that the basic position on it?
No, the problem is that scientists think that they know very well that the fungus is always present in cancer patients. Also, many works in USA demonstrated that people at the end die because of candidemia, a big infection of the fungus.
Really?
But they say that the fungus comes after the tumor attacked the patient. On the contrary, I say that the fungus come first, makes attacks the patients, then makes the tumor. So me, I have a theory with a subject and all a logic explanation. The conventional medicine theory, oncology theory, says that fungus comes later, but it doesn't explain what is the cause of tumor. So this is completely illogical.
Yes.
That's why they refuse. They say, okay, there is always this parasite. It is opportunistic infection. They don't understand that it comes before and makes the tumor.
And from my understanding of watching some of your videos, you're basically proposing that in the solid cancers, that the cancer tumor forms around the fungal infection, and that it is some sort of complication of the way in which the body is responding to the fungal infection that creates the abnormal cells of a tumor. Is that correct?
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
All the story of the overgrowth of the cells is only a defense reaction that tries to block the spreading of the colonies. So all the cells can be also exhausted, because they cannot face such a powerful living being, because the fungus is the connecting point between the cells and the animals. It starts like cells, but it becomes like an animal. Its power is like an animal. So the organism try to enwrap the colonies with the aim to avoid the attack of the fungus. So it is like a solid abscess.
I see.
Where the cells are only a defense reaction, and when chemotherapy is done in a patient, cancer patient, the chemotherapy just kills this defense reaction cells, because the fungi are not killed by this kind of treatments, because the theory is different. It is not a problem of cells, it is only a problem of an infection.
Right. And okay, I've got a couple of questions, and one of them, and I'm certainly not very expert in this area, so I can only talk to you in fairly non-technical terms, but my question is about the morphology of cancerous cells, which we've been told is why cancer spread, is because they're not like normal cells, and that there's a system of grading cancers from 1 to 4, and we're told that if we have a grade 4 cancer, the prognosis is very bad. If we have a grade 1 cancer, the prognosis is less bad, and that it is all about the type of cell that they've identified, whether it's more likely to metastasize or grow very rapidly, because it is not related to the tissues that it's growing in, and that seems to be the official understanding of what a cancer cell is. How does that relate in your model? How is it that we have different types of cancer cells from grade 1 to 4?
There are two questions.
Yeah.
We have to say why the cells are differentiated or not, or indifferentiated, or why they are so bad or not so bad at the beginning, and then they become bad.
Yes.
Another question is why we have many histologic types of cancer. This is the second question. All right. The first question is, I can respond like that. If we have a tank, you know, a tank, big tank.
Yes.
And we have only soldiers, So the tank is a fungus and the soldiers are the cell of the human body.
Yes.
We, at the first, will send regular troops. We send a regular and normal soldiers.
Yeah.
That they are aged between 20 and 50, let's say.
Sure.
Then they are differentiated. As long as a tank kills every soldier, we have to send younger people or elder people.
Yeah.
Then when our army is destroyed, is exhausted, we can send only babies, only undifferentiated embryos. At the end, the type of cells are the sign of that the organism is exhausted against an enemy that is too powerful.
Right.
This is the first explanation. The second, why so many types of cancer, when I say that all the fungus is the cause of cancer? If you say, if you take a sea urchin, you know what is a sea urchin?
Yes.
A sting.
Indeed, yeah.
And it goes into a foot, and you cannot remove it. After 1 week, you will see that there is a nodule like a cyst, and you can call it a spinocellular carcinoma. If you put this thing in the liver, the defensive reaction of the liver will be made by the cells of the liver that try to wrap the sting. And then it is called hepatocarcinoma. If you put the sting in the bone, the defensive reaction will be osteosarcoma. So all the types of the histological reaction make the many types of tumor. Concretely, basically, there is only one enemy, the sting, or in my case, the fungus, that where it goes to eat, it recalls the defensive reaction of the tissue that it invades. So it is only a defensive reaction.
The fascinating and really, really interesting analogy that you provided there. It actually leads me to another question, though, about carcinogens, because we have an accepted medical literature about carcinogens, which, as you indicated, which are known to trigger cancers. Is a fungus a type of carcinogen, or is a carcinogen a different type of thing altogether? We are actually going to break, so I'll get you to answer that when we come back from break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. I'm talking to Dr. Tullio Simoncini about a very revolutionary approach to cancer. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this very short break. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now. Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. I'm talking to my guest, Tullio Simoncini, oncologist and inventor of an extraordinary new approach to treating cancer. Dr. Simoncini, just before the break there, we were talking about the way in which the fungus triggers the cancer. And I posed to you the question, is the fungus actually a type of carcinogen, or is that a totally different concept?
No, the fungus is the tumor, is the cause of cancer.
Right.
The carcinogenic agents are many. We have radiation, toxics, smoke, diet, depression, stress, I don't know, accidents, whatever. But we have to make a difference. One thing is the cause of a phenomenon. Another thing is the concomitant cause.
Yes.
So all these carcinogenic elements are not the cause of cancer, but they can help to make weaker the tissue at that point that the fungus can land.
Ah, yes.
So this is the problem: radiation, toxins, and so on. The same words that today are used for the cancer were used when the tuberculosis was unknown. Hereditary, environment, diet, psych, stress, all these stupidities.
Yes.
They are important, but because they can prepare the weakness of the tissues. But with all these concomitant causes, one time a patient can get a tuberculosis if the real cause is the bacillus of Koch. One time he can take a flu if there is a virus. Or sometimes he can take a tumor if the fungus land in the tissue of a patient. So it is quite different. We don't have to confuse concomitants and really its etiological cause of an illness. For this cancer, the only, in my opinion, only etiological cause is the cancer. The other ones are just preparing. It's attack.
Yes,
okay?
I do understand that. That makes a lot of sense, and I grasp what you're saying. I hope our listeners do as well. The concomitant cause and the actual cancer being the fungus itself. Now, can we talk a little bit about this question of a pH balance and acidity and alkaline? Because this has a lot to do with your approach to the cancer. And please go ahead.
Listen, I'm sorry to tell you that this is a big mistake.
Right.
pH has nothing to do with the cancer.
Right, okay.
pH is just a deal of many alternative and non-alternative doctors. They repeat a litany that they didn't know. They don't know.
I see.
And if somebody has a pneumonia and you give an antibiotic, there are acidic antibiotics and alkaline antibiotics. It is completely, it is not important, the acidity or the alkalinity. The problem is that sodium bicarbonate acts because it's antifungal drug. It kills the fungi, no matter if it is alkaline.
I see.
Of the alkalinity has to be faced.
Yes. Very, very interesting, because I tell you why I find that, and that intuitively sounds right to me, is because I've heard about a lot of different alternative cancer treatments, but some of them are actually acidic in nature. There's one called black salve, which you possibly know something about, but a lot of people have used it in Australia, and I believe it's actually acidic, but it actually does burn out skin cancer tumors as well. But so the question, is it alkaline? Is it acid? Is not the key question. And what you've pointed out is that it's the ability to treat or to remove the underlying cause, which you're saying is the fungus.
Yeah. I've never seen a patient healed with these kind of treatments, alkalinity and acidity.
Yes.
In fact, in USA, a biologist or physics, I don't remember, developed a treatment with the cesium chloride that is a more alkaline than sodium bicarbonate, but it didn't work because it is not anti. It has no antifungal properties.
I see. Yes.
So the story of the alkalinity is completely false. Also, the story of the sodium bicarbonate mixed with the maple syrups. This is another stupidity.
Right.
If somebody takes maple syrup with a sodium bicarbonate, it doesn't work at all. Also, orally, sodium bicarbonate doesn't work. Right. Sodium bicarbonate works if we can put it in strictly in touch with the colonies. So we have to use cadavers, port cuts, irrigations, limited operation with the irrigations of sodium bicarbonate solutions. So it seems easy, but we need a team of professionals. So we have to distinguish. That's no easy. It's not a problem of the sodium bicarbonate orally, or I don't know. We have to carry the sodium bicarbonate in the right sites, right places. Okay.
Absolutely. Yes. And there are so many difficult places where cancer develops. How do you deal with blood cancers? How do you introduce the sodium bicarbonate into the blood? How does that work?
Oh, in the blood, many times I had a good result because you can do intravenous administrations, for instance, for myeloma, leukemia. Many times I had success with this kind of tumors. Also, for these tumors, many times there are hidden localizations, and the blood tumors are only a defense reaction against other colonies that are unknown.
Right.
It is a complex field. But it works, for instance, the blood. It is more difficult on the bone cancer where there is no circulation, or the esophagus cancer where there is a tiny circulation.
Yeah.
These are very, very difficult. But for instance, for other tumors, such as bladder cancer, neck uterus cancer, melanomas, breast cancer, there is almost a 90% healing. If the treatment is my method is properly done. For other tumors, it depends on the stage, it depends on how many chemotherapy were done, on many other factors, but usually sodium bicarbonate always helps.
Okay, that's really interesting. Just a question about metastasizing cancers, because it's quite common that people will develop cancers that have spread throughout their bodies, and they'll have many, many small tumors all through their different organs. Does your approach require that each one of those tumors has to be treated individually? Is there some difficulty there? Because obviously with radiation and these other treatments, the way they deal with it is that they bombard the entire body so that, all those little micro tumors will get hit by the radiation. How can you do it at the physical level with the bicarb and hit so many different points?
Yes, you understand.
Yeah.
When the body is completely invaded, it is impossible to cure it.
Right.
But sometimes it is also possible to do it, to prolong the life, the quality of life. And also I have terminal people that healed completely. But of course, it's more difficult. I have people with metastasis in the liver and lung. At the same time, they heal completely with this installation of a port cut into the liver for direct infusions that reached also the lung. It depends.
Dr. Simoncini, we're going to break. Sorry to interrupt.
Yes.
You're with Truth News Radio Australia. We're just going to break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Okay.
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio, and we are probing into the real causes of cancer and the ways cancer can be dealt with that are so under, you know, exposed. The methods and treatments of Dr. Tullio Simoncini, which I've only recently discovered myself, based on his view that that cancer is essentially a fungus. Dr. Simoncini, I would like to get into the question of the origins and causes of this problem in the time that we have left, because what we all want to understand, what we're trying to grasp with cancer is why is it happening, and is it something that is a unique development of the modern age? Is it something that was less prevalent in previous generations and previous centuries? Or are we simply seeing it more now because we observe more and because people are growing older? Or do we have a real problem now with environmental factors that are leading to this, in case of what you're saying, is that we become prone to developing these fungal invasions of our bodies?
No, this is only a problem of knowledge. Until the until the 19th century, before Pasteur, nobody knew about the bacteria.
Right.
We know more about bacteria, but we don't know nothing about the fungi, because it is more complex. It is now. The way to study the fungi is wrong, because scientists continue to study fungi in the way they study bacteria, but it's quite different. If we want to kill a bacterium, we can give a shot of penicillin. Yeah. If you want to kill a fungus, a colony, we cannot give an antifungal drug like the bacteria treatments, because this is an animal. If we give penicillin to a rat or to a cat, it will never die.
Yes.
So it is a problem of knowledge. Therefore, the scientists underestimate this problem. And since there is a pollution, because we have, for instance, in Japan we have 10 million, 15 million people that have outlet foods.
Yes,
and also we have how many women with the vaginal candidosis?
Yes, it's very common now. Yeah.
Yes, how many people have psoriasis and so on? So it is since it is misunderstood, there is an endemic in the world. That's why it's increasing. It is increasing the number of cancer patients, because the scientists don't see the problem. They fight against something that they don't know, and the fungus develops, becomes more and more aggressive.
Yeah.
And this is an external infection. For instance, the women when take breast cancer, they are attacked through the nipple. The bra, the compression is a concomitant cause.
Yes.
So it is a problem. It is a generic problem of the environment, the stress, the age. Of course, when we get older, we are not so strong. But this is a false problem. The real problem is that the fungus is misunderstood.
Absolutely. Question about the immune system, Dr. Simoncini. Can you explain your perspective on the role of the immune system in dealing with fungal infections? You described earlier that your analogy there with the soldiers and the tank. Is that actually the immune system that you're referring to there when you say that the body tries to fend off the fungal infection?
The problem of the immune system on cancer is it can be considered metaphysic, because right. immune system says everything, but doesn't say anything. The immune system depends on the strength of a person. For instance, there are tumors that can occur because a patient took a lot of medicaments. So there's not a problem of many toxics. There is another problem. A tumor of breast tumors occurs because a woman is completely healthy from the point of view of the immune system, but maybe the bra is too tight.
Yes.
So the immune system is an explanation, metaphysical explanation. We have to see the real problem. The immune system comes later. Of course, when there is a big infection, the immune system smashes down. When somebody makes chemotherapy, radiotherapy, and many devastating treatments, the immune system, but it's not the immune system that doesn't work. It is the organism that is shut down. So this is like the pH role on cancer. The immune system is just a metaphysical item problem. So I would speak. I would talk about the door the fungus enters through. Sometimes it is, for instance, the tablets of hypertension. They make weaker the circulation in the lung and in the intestine. Many times you see people that takes tablets of blood pressure that after a few years develops cancer in the lung.
Yeah.
The operation in the circulation in the heart, they help the fungal attack because they make the patient weaker. It's not a problem of the immune system, because everything when we talk about a fungus, a tumor that is fungus, we have to think about something that is extracellular. Nothing to do with the cells, immune system, phosphatasis, gene, oncogene, nothing.
Right.
If you want to kill a killer, you need a gun. You don't need to make the analysis of the cells. Understand me?
I understand okay. that is very very clear and your position is very revolutionary though, isn't it? I mean, how have you been received? What's the current state of your work? Are you able to proceed with it? Are you getting support from it? I imagine it must be very difficult.
No, I have many doctor, professor. I meet with. All over the world, they agree. The problem is that if some doctor cures people with no chemotherapy, immediately he's banned.
Really?
As they did in Italy with me. And they persecuted me. They said lies, denigrations, falsities. They accused me even of a dead... of a death of a woman that I only speak with.
Yeah, yeah.
I spoke with. So the system is a system of idiots. Because, first of all, you cannot be called a scientist if you don't know what you are talking about. So if you say, I don't know what is a tumor, you can say whatever you want. Everybody can say whatever he wants if he doesn't know the subject of a theory. As Hegel said, in the night, all the cows are black.
Indeed.
Yes. Then everybody can say whatever he wants. Therefore, I was persecuted, and they continue to persecute me because I am so clear. So I have a book of the Lord of London, Mr. Sacchi,
We are just going to break. Sorry to interrupt you again. We are going to break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia, talking to Dr. Tullio Simoncini. We will be right back. Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. I've been talking to Dr. Tullio Simoncini, a really incredible discussion and journey into the truth about cancer and things that that I had no knowledge of until about 24 hours ago. Certainly blown my mind. Dr. Simoncini, please continue finishing your thought there. We've got a few minutes left. I'll let you continue from where we were cut off there at the break.
Okay. So I want to give you, to tell you, a lord of London wrote a book, and the title is The Brutal Simplicity of Thought. That means, and he said, it is easier to complicate that simplify, then simplify. This is my position. So everything is complicated, in my opinion, is false, especially on cancer. If I found a simple way, we have to investigate it. Because I had success, many people completely healed, I have a logic theory, and I think that we have to continue on this way. They are studying in Italy, in USA, they are making experimentation, but they don't do it very well. But I hope that by the time scientists will be awakened and we refuse all this idiot theory of the cells.
Absolutely.
Anyway, if somebody wants to know more about me, he has to go to www.cancerfungus.com. There are many, many articles, my theory, testimonies, and so you will be able to clarify all what I explained in this interview.
Excellent.
I hope that I gave you a small panorama. And that I gave you a little light of my thoughts, and I hope that people listening to your interview, to your transmission, can benefit of this talk that we did. Anyhow, thank you.
Thank you so much. Just one question, Dr. Simoncini. Are there treatment options for people? We have listeners to this show who are in Australia and the US. Are there treatment options available to them right now to use your methods? How would someone go about trying to get the sodium bicarbonate treatment, for example, living in Australia right now? What would you recommend?
No, the best thing to do is to call me. Email me, so I can respond. I often see people from Australia,
okay,
or from any country in the world. The best thing to do is to write to me.
Terrific. Yes,
to my email t.simoncini@alice.it. I will try to respond to everybody. Then I will make an advice what to do, because in Italy I am a little bit I have a problem, since even if I have my team for the selective arteriographies, but I have out of Italy I have a clinic that can do my method and can follow my patients.
Excellent.
This is the only way, because doctors cannot move free.
Yes,
they are not free to do what they want to do. If they don't if they are risky for the system, they are shut down immediately. That's why they are not free to do the treatment that they can consider useful. Therefore, we are in a medieval status. So the best thing to do is to anyhow contact me.
Definitely, and I'll put all the notes for that on the show. And yes, I do recommend anyone out there listening to contact you. And we'll follow this story, Dr. Simoncini. I find it very, very interesting, and I do hope I can talk to you again at some point.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And a big greeting to all the Australian people.
Terrific. Okay, thanks very much, Dr. Simoncini. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, I hope you found that interesting. I certainly did, and it's a subject I'm going to be researching further. Now, of course, as you may imagine, there's a lot of opposition to what Dr. Simoncini has said, and just a quick cursory look on Google will certainly bring up some rather trollish attacks against him. I cannot vouch for the accuracy of what we've been told here today, and I think it's important to consider both sides of any position. And my main interest in bringing you stories on Truth News is certainly not to tell you that this is the truth and that you should believe this. It's to raise topics that haven't been very well covered, things that are not widely known, and for us to have a look at it and think about it and decide what we think. What I do know about cancer, and this was certainly highlighted by Dr. Simoncini's statements there, is that the corporatized control of the medical healthcare system is very, very unhealthy in itself. You know, there is a cancer within the institutions that is very, very real. And I believe it centers on the attempt to control for the purpose of making more money, consolidating profits, and blocking out competitors who you simply don't like because they're competitors, rather than maybe looking at what the competitors are doing and learning and then competing properly in a truly economically viable way. Instead of doing that, what they try and do is crush the competition. That's a mafia-style approach, which is quite ludicrous. I mean, if some of these alternative treatments for cancer are producing results, then an enlightened medical fraternity would embrace them and learn from them. And there wouldn't be this incredible divide between the so-called official mainstream and the alternative, which is seen as, you know, by many people as quackery. And we've seen many cases where they do come together. But there are forces at work which don't allow that to happen. And that's a reality. That I give to you as a truth. You know, I can't tell you that Dr. Simoncini's cure for cancer works or is correct or is 100% or 50% correct. I don't know at this stage. But what I do know is that we don't have a free and open market of the exchange of information. That's definitely the case. And we need to have more opportunities to learn and to also free up the approach to treating illness. The biggest problem we have is government restrictions, which can lead to very, very serious penalties, even criminal convictions, for those who do not follow the accepted approach, the accepted mandated approach to treatments of disease. We've had children removed from their families because the parents didn't want their children to undergo very, very destructive, carcinogenic anti-cancer treatments. And we see doctors banned from practicing because they don't toe the line. And we see certain products being completely banned, like black salve in Australia. While it's well known that people all over the world have used black salve and have cured skin cancers, yet the position is, no, it's dangerous and we have to protect the public. And, of course, many of us do buy into that. And indeed, there is some truth to it, of course. The public can be under threat by unscrupulous snake oil salesmen who might be hurting them while selling them something that they say is going to make them better. But hey, you know what? That same argument can be applied to official mainstream medicine itself. And that's a topic that we've covered many times on this show, and there are so many different controversies over vaccines and treatments for mental disorders and treatments for virtually every kind of chronic health problem, where it often seems that the diseases people suffer from are what they call iatrogenic disorders. An iatrogenic disease is one caused by medicine, when the medicine itself is making you sick. And that seems to be incredibly common in the modern medical institutions. And it makes you really wonder whether it is, in fact, just a coincidence that that's happening, whether it is the product of incompetence, or whether it is actually designed that way to create a sickness industry so people keep coming back and paying for the medicines which are continuing to make them sick. I don't know what the cause of cancer is. I don't know if it's fungus or not fungus. It's certainly a very, very interesting concept. I try to stay healthy. I try to eat well. I try to get enough exercise. I try to keep my mental state clear. And I try to keep a positive attitude on life. And I do believe that all of those things are extremely important too. And I don't tend to get sick. So there we have it. That's another show from Truth News Radio Australia. We'll be back next week. I look forward to speaking to you then.